door and I want it painted black. Hey everyone, and welcome to the Painted Black Podcast. I'm Pete Burr, coming to you from our new digs, brand new studio. Hey Brian, how you doing?
Hey, what's going on, man? We got a brand new little podcasting room.
Digged a new place.
I do.
Nice little room here. And joining us this week, return guest from last week, we got Jillian.
Hello. This is a legit studio, guys. Congratulations.
I know.
It's pretty nice, right? And joining us for the first time, Mr. Mike Feinberg. How you doing, man?
Very nice to be here. Thank you.
Talking to the mic guy.
Oh.
I thought I was.
Talking to the mic, and that's what it's all about.
I thought I was talking.
It's a pun on your name.
What did I just do?
Oh, one of these things. Yeah. You came in to talk to me, but then you were like this.
Gotcha.
Overshot yourself.
No problem. That was everyone's week this week, aside from, obviously, moving around.
Busy and awesome.
So much moving. I never want to look. The lovely Jillian over here, like, I'm a little Nazi, but I'm about to start burning books because I had to carry a metric ton of fucking books into this house today. Like,
having a personal library sounds good on paper.
I am a reader. I am a bookworm.
It's the digital age, woman. Go fucking get an iPad.
Are you still buying books?
I buy books. I buy a lot of my rock fiction on my Kindle and iBook.
You're fucking rock fiction?
Erotic fiction.
Oh, erotic fiction.
She said this last week. It's so people on the train don't judge her.
But you can tell who's reading erotic fiction by the way they hold their phones. You can tell.
You can tell by the huge erections in the guys and the moist spots in the women.
Exactly. If she gets up from her seat and you see a little puddle, she's reading something good.
If she's rubbing her legs together a little too hard.
Yeah, exactly.
It's probably a Twilight book or what's the other one?
50 Shades of Grey.
Oh, 50 Shades of Grey. Yeah.
Man. You ever hear that book, my friend?
Yeah, I've heard of it.
Yeah.
I never actually read it.
I never read it either.
Yeah, no.
Don't bother. Skip ahead to, well, I'll send you a series, but there's one
it's
called.
Like SNL, just watch.
She's going to send you a series.
Never too far or too far.
Just watch porn. We're dudes.
Oh, you're dudes.
It sounds like a black porno. You're never too far. Like.
You're dudes. Watch porn.
You don't
want
to put that much effort into it. I'm not going to read a book about it. Keep it simple.
Exactly.
Like, it's girls, it's always about the mental thing. Guys, it's like, let me see something dirty.
Because
men are visual, women are psychological.
There you go. I mean, that's pretty much, you know, straightforward right there.
And if it wasn't for that, a lot of you guys wouldn't get in the way you do with girls.
Here's the question.
Don't knock it.
If women are psychological, right?
Get in our
why are they always trying to get seduced by, like, the pool boy instead of, like, the guy with the Mercedes?
Is that actually a female fantasy or is that just a porno premise?
Pause. It's a porno premise. In the rock fiction, he's always a guy who owns his own company, is self-made, or came from a
so a guy better
family.
Than me. I get it. All right.
Yeah. So,
wait, so you're saying that it depends more on what a guy says than what he actually looks like?
Yes.
Good. Now
I mean,
can let myself go.
Yeah.
We're all on even playing field.
So if that's what we're saying, then you know, it changes everything around.
A girl wants to be mind-fucked is what she wants. Literally.
So I could just tell you I have a lot of money then?
Yeah,
I don't have to show you the money, I just have to tell you.
You have to believe you have that amount of money.
Because
if you don't project it.
No, but you don't have to say it. You know, I mean, you have to say it. You don't have to visually project it because it's not a visual thing.
Make the fantasy real. And the only thing that really matters to a girl is the size of man's wallet. There you go.
I'm boned.
No. You see, what you should have said, I don't want to be critical, but what you said, it all depends on a man's pocket.
Yeah.
Actually,
holes in this theory.
Either or will do.
I'm wicked broke all the time.
Well, how big
and from Boston all of a sudden.
But I do not bad with the
ladies. You know how to use it?
Yeah.
Then you're fine.
Okay. P's got that, like, I'm an artist, quiet, cool. Where, like,
yeah, that works. Oh, the first law of female fantasy is about that, too.
Oh, boy, are they disappointed.
Pete is not, I'm not trying to, like, disrespect you, but you're not the hunter. You're the bait. Or, like, you get... It's not like you're going out there with a bow and arrow and you're getting your meal. It's like...
I'm pretty sure you're complimenting my looks right now, so thank you.
No, I am. But, you know, I mean, as far as the manliness goes...
Yeah, you know, I don't have to put in any effort. They just kind of come to me.
You're swarthy good looks.
Yeah, and it's swarthy. Okay.
From Cuba.
Yeah.
So what kind of, like, what is Cuban swarthy joint? Exactly?
The Sons of Anarchy sweatshirt, I think that was the first thing that I noticed, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there we go.
That's not really
I haven't
swarthy.
Taken off in 3 weeks.
I'm not swarthy. I'm not really sure what that means, but okay.
Swarthy is the Latin machismo thing, kind
of. Oh, Sons of Anarchy, yeah.
That's not Sons of Anarchy. That's something
not
else.
Sons of
that's
Anarchy.
Something, it's almost like a rough riding cowboy kind of thing is what that is.
When I was in Mexico, they did call me El Caballero.
What's that mean?
The cowboy.
He's the very white guy.
It means I was the only guy who didn't shave his
El
fucking
gringo.
Chest.
El gringo.
Well, while we're talking about women being weird, what did you say we do a little news?
A little news.
Because I got some female troublemakers here in the news who scared the shit out of me. A pair of 7th grade girls in New Jersey have been pulled out of school for
This is allegedly, but I don't see the point of using the word allegedly when it's documented. They posted a video on YouTube threatening to kill several classmates. These are seventh graders.
Over what?
Nothing.
Bitch stole my look.
Yo. Well, what exactly did they say?
Okay, here's one. Well, they went into great detail about both stabbing, choking, shooting various people. And here's a quote from the video. The girl says, "I think about killing her. I don't know why. She's annoying." So that gives you some
That's
insight.
A very adult thought for a child.
Sweethearts. If we're trying to test this whole Newtown, Connecticut thing about how we're being more vigilant about kids threatening other kids, please don't. Know that the authorities and the grown-ups will be up on you in 2 seconds. All children, please stop trying to test this theory. I know it's like saying Bloody Mary in the mirror 3 times to you right now, but trust me, Bloody Mary is going to show up and you're going to do some time, and your parents are going to have to pay for your legal bills, and it's going to affect your life, so please stop.
Isn't this a little bit overkill? I mean, we're talking kids.
I know, but everyone's scared right now. It's the world. So scared.
It's a sad world. I think this has a lot to do with the internet, where everybody can have a voice. Everyone can throw something up on YouTube and say whatever the fuck they want without thinking about the consequences. And these kids, I stress the word kids, obviously don't realize what they're doing to themselves.
It's because of the internet, now everyone's got to face consequences. No one cannot say something and have to speak up about it, even if, you know, you're some stupid bitch in Maryland.
Well, this is the other end of the spectrum from what we were talking about last week, where it's, you know, with the apology thing, where everyone has to apologize for everything nowadays because of the internet and everyone can hear what they say. This is people who should be, you know, looked into. Maybe trouble.
How old are they?
Seventh grade.
Yeah, so what does that mean?
That's
age
12, 13.
They're very young to develop the way I feel about people who bike on the side of the road in neon yellow outfits.
Thing in, I was watching Beavis and Butthead that's how I feel during about that time people. In my life. Beavis and Butthead greatly influenced me. And by the way, hi, Ivy League graduate, you know, super smart, practically immense member, watching Beavis and Butthead seventh grade completely influenced the way I thought and spoke and acted.
You heard it here. Beavis and Butthead makes you smarter. So these this story actually kind of broke my heart because they have a lot of like references after the video came out. Little girls coming up to these kids and going, "Why do you want to kill me?" And them just going, "Because I want to kill you." These are disturbed children.
Because I must break you.
Ivan Drago approach.
They go the straight Drago. I must break you.
If they die, they die.
What the kind of training they've been putting into this?
Oh God!
Training outside
what,
the
video
field.
Games? Are these girls gamers by any chance? Because that's a whole other theory to it.
No,
you know,
I think
too much
just
Halo or whatever you guys
like
play.
Bright light theory or something.
She's not calling them like a gay or a nigger or something like that. That's the gaming community's insults.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, but once you go down that banging road, it's so much harder to apologize for that.
What?
You can apologize for saying like something like, you know, I want to kill this person. It's not like, you know, the most direct thing. I mean, I guess it is kind of direct.
I'm sorry, I hate you.
But
seems like a straight line.
Saying the word nigger, saying things, you know, like those kinds of effects, people, you know, like they remember that. You know, like that's something you can apologize all you want. You don't forget.
Yeah, you can forget,
look
but
at,
you don't forget.
Kramer.
You don't forget. Exactly.
Who's seen him lately?
Yeah.
That's been like
you don't forget.
Almost 10
never
years.
Forget.
Never forget. Never forget.
So just to put a button in this, they got a court date Monday. The video's been taken offline. They are, kicked out of school. All the fun stuff that goes on.
Where was this? What state?
This was Jersey.
Wow. All
right, but they're what? They're like, what, 11, 12?
Yeah, like 12, 13.
There are kids. Like, why can't you just be like,
you fucked
you
up.
You kicked them out of school? Like, that's fucked up.
Because if these girls 5 years from now or whatever decide to go running into their classroom with a shotgun, we'll all be like, where were the parents and why didn't we see the red flags?
These just girls seem like bitches, really.
They are.
They're probably hot.
But we need to.
You gotta be hot to think like that.
Yeah. You really do.
There was that video.
Wasn't the fat bitch thinking like
that? Yeah. You never know. You didn't really hear much from the fat bitches.
Did anyone see that video of the two little black girls beating the shit out of each other because the older black girls made them do it? Like,
The people get shot because of that. Like,
yeah, this was. I won't say the hood, but, you know, it was hoodish. It was hoodish mentality. But one of the girls' older sisters wouldn't do something, so they made, like, the little sister do this. And it was fucked up shit. It was really horrific. Like, I only watched 2 seconds of it, like, when I saw the news story.
Yeah,
like,
that sounds horrible.
Like, kids are vicious. Like, it's Hunger Games. Kids are freaking vicious.
Now, do you think this stuff happened before YouTube?
Yes.
Or do you think that YouTube makes it worse because people
it makes it want worse
to show it off?
They sensationalize
they show
it
off, yeah. But this stuff happened before then.
Because when I was a kid, I don't remember any of this shit.
When I was a kid,
I was obsessed with Godzilla movies and action figures, and that was about it.
I don't know, I might be a little bit high right now, but the first thing you mentioned when I was a kid, I was like, I remember when Cookie Crisp was like real cookies, right?
Mm-hmm. Remember when the Cookie Crook was their mascot?
Yeah, he was good a crook. Times. Guy just stole cookies, man. That was the deal.
And that stupid cop never let him have any cookies.
I barely remember being like, what was I, like kindergarten or whatever, like experimenting with like my other girlfriend underneath her coat. On the back of the bus, like
dirty birds,
like we were about love. It wasn't fighting with my group of friends. It's about love. Got a little weird.
Yeah, me and my friends, when we used to play G.I. Joes, we would just embrace each other and just go at it on our winter coats, like
yeah, right there in the sandbox.
Why is that so much like more innocent when a girl says something like that? So we were just
because
your friends. We just wanted to explore stuff.
I can.
If like two little boys did that, they'd be like those fucking faggots. Yeah,
because girls,
you got to get them rehabilitated before it's too late.
Yeah, right?
Because girls are sexually fluid and boys usually aren't.
Look, just because you get fluid. Sexual when you have some fluids doesn't make you sexually fluid.
You know, we were talking before about words that are just very vague.
That's, I thought you were going to say vaginal. Sexually
fluid. Sexually fluid. What the hell does that mean?
It means we go either or.
Naturally?
Naturally, yes.
Not
once again, see, good information that needs to just, you know, it like, needs to be.
I know, where were you in my 20s?
Yeah, seriously, this is stuff that should just.
Women have really intense relationships with one another. Like, you know, when we see our best friend, it's not like with you guys, like, this guy I hang out with all the time. With girls, it's practically sometimes like, I would marry you. In fact, there's a whole thing going on about women who are deciding not to marry and rather they just have that best female friend. And it's not sexual, so this female friend is so close to them that that's all they need.
A generation of men going unnagged.
What was that? What was that movie called? Children of Men. What's the reverse of that situation? Where there's just all these women, and it's just like, you know, the men are just so unnecessary.
There would be a generation of women where they couldn't agree on the color.
Anybody have anything to add to that story?
Before I got a bunch more woman slams, but I think we should move on.
Right. You'll get them in the rest of the show, I'm sure.
Brian, I got a new story for you.
For me,
because right. This sounds like something you would get into.
Going back to the previous story of women on women.
No. This is in another direction. We've talked at length off air about, you know, downloading video games and everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How do you feel about McDonald's delivering?
Fucking all for it. Like, come on. Not just in the city, though. We're talking about, like, residential, like.
I'm talking nationwide. And, you want a little more?
Yeah.
Breakfast all day.
That would be the fucking most popular item ever in the history of things that could be delivered to your door. McDonald's breakfast. It's like, yo, send over like a couple McGriddles, like eight hash browns. Like,
can we just separate the issues for a second?
Yeah,
breakfast all day should be on the menu.
Agreed.
But
without delivery even being an issue.
Exactly.
However, delivery would be awesome.
Delivery, let's combat drunk driving. Mothers Against Drunk Driving should be supporting this, obviously. And on the other issue about breakfast all day, Brian, do you remember that time we drove up to a McDonald's and you ordered breakfast and they said we're not serving that yet because we were too early?
It was in that gray area.
Yeah, oh, we like said go fuck yourself.
5 a.m. here, 4 or 5.
They probably had a crusted Big Mac they hadn't sold yet. They're like, we serve Big Macs at 3:33 in the morning.
So we are pro all this. Way to hear your customers, and let's do this.
Right now, McDonald's in about 20% of their locations will deliver. And breakfast is, of course, cut off. I believe it's about at 11.
Yeah, I think that's
noon.
A generation noon. Of potheads will go unhungry.
And there might even be loyalty rewards. You buy enough shit, you get something back.
This is the death nail in America. Do you think people were fat now? When you don't have to go out to the drive-thru to get fatter?
Yes.
This is why I wanted your take first.
Canada,
I knew
this
you'd
is
be
your
proud.
Opportunity. Canada, this is your opportunity.
I am so against this on every level of my being. The breakfast thing, yes. Make it all day. That's fine. I like a McGriddle. But we are already fat.
No, here's the thing.
But we could be fatter.
It should only be delivered between the hours of 11 and 5 in the morning, and you got to blow like a 1.8.
You mean you got to be above a 1.8?
Yeah.
Okay.
Or, you know, 1.8 or above. Then they're like, all right, you get
well,
them the
bring, like,
give them the food.
Give them the food, yeah.
They got to bring like a drug-sniffing dog and just make sure that you're nicely baked.
Because here's the gambit. They charge your credit card regardless,
yeah.
Right? But you don't get the food if you don't blow the certain amount of
ooh,
alcohol.
I like gambling.
So it's like, I'm kind of drunk. Bro, we should maybe slam a couple beers and order that McDonald's or something.
Let's
like
try that.
That.
I'll be the McDonald's operator. You call up with your order.
All right, man. Can I get a Whopper?
Okay. Oh, that's Burger King.
Yo, man. Can I get a Junior Bacon Cheeseburger, bro?
Okay, we're talking Wendy's. Oh, this is McDonald's. You've called
man.
McDonald's.
Yeah. Oh, man. Let me get...
You're better than that.
An Angus wrap. I need an Angus wrap in me right now.
Okay, we got an angry. I'll fast forward. Angus wrap.
Can I get a McBig?
I don't know what that is.
Look, a McFlurry. Right.
I'm so fucked up.
Okay, here's what we're going to do. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to send our guy over. Yes. He's going to have two Big Macs, a 20-piece McNugget, and
an Angus.
And a McMuffin, okay? That should cover your bases.
Thank you so much.
How many beers are you on?
Oh, man. Can you serve beer?
No, how many have you had?
I'll take a 12-pack of Guinness.
All right, this guy's good. Get him his order.
There we go.
It's like clap. A teen hotline.
Clap for that. That was That's a good every- little routine.
Now you just need to have late, like overnight McDonald's workers who could actually speak to people and put up with people.
You need to take the people who do like 911 and crisis intervention, suicide hotline, take over those lines for McDonald's is what you need. I just realized.
Was it that would become like the drunk call of the night where it's like you get drunk and you're like, you never loved me, Sarah. Why did you treat me like that? Sir, like, I don't want to be rude, but
what the hell was that?
Yeah, I just heard some weird noise
Is that a cell phone?
I think someone's phone just vibrated.
It sounded like some epic music that was about. Yeah.
I thought.
Like a low drum, you're like building up in there.
It sounds like the Wind of Reaper.
Like, I was about Mass Effect. I got a little gun shy because I thought I was supposed to deliver the greatest joke of all time.
Yeah, Jaws is about to come right now.
All right, Pete. So McDonald's shouldn't, for the good of humanity.
For the good of the nation.
Yes.
They should be stopped.
But at the same point, it is capitalism at its best. That is exactly what it's about.
I love the 80s.
This is McDonald's we're talking about here. They are the quintessential capitalistic company. This is what they do. And that took over
Russia.
But this is, I mean, people should have their own, McDonald's. They should be able to make their own decisions.
Mm-hmm.
And
if you want to be fat as shit and make our military weaker and yourself stupider, go ahead.
I mean,
it'll probably
people like what they like. I mean, if you like McDonald's, you should be able to eat a breakfast menu whenever you want.
Exactly. What we're trying to say is,
I don't want anybody telling me that I can't get my McGriddle at 7 o'clock at night.
The consumer dictates the market.
Yes, no, Mike, I'm the consumer. I want a McGriddle 7 o'clock.
Not
a.m.
Coke sucked.
Mike, the argument wasn't to make McDonald's serve breakfast all day. It was that we shouldn't deliver it.
But I thought breakfast part of it was...
It's a two-pronged attack.
Right, yeah.
By McDonald's.
No, I agree with the breakfast all day.
You know what? Delivery, if it provides another job for another person, I'm all for it.
And if you pay them a little bit more,
give somebody another job, whatever.
Mike has a combination of lazy and pot smoker.
I'll just feel... I'll feel
really
weird.
I'm a consumer, man. I'm a consumer first and foremost.
I'm going to feel really weird tipping my McDonald's guy, though.
No,
He gets
minimum wage tip.
Because it's like $3 worth of food.
No.
I ordered up the dollar menu, man. You get 99 cents tip.
My plan of attack was I wouldn't tip him a thing and be like, if you delivered pizza, you'd be getting $5 right now. Click.
Step up in the world, man.
No, you
have some self-respect.
About like 2-3 weeks ago, minimum wage workers went on strike. Mm-hmm. And a lot of them were fast food workers. And I was at the gym, and I was reading the subtitles from where I was. And yeah, I support them. They should get paid a little bit more. I'm willing to pay a little bit more for whatever cheap shit food I buy occasionally so that they can earn a decent earning. Yeah.
I'm all right with the $1.05 menu.
But let's tip them.
Dollar
they're delivering. Let's tip them.
Yeah, I mean. All right,
we'll it's like in a restaurant. You tip them. That's how they
let's
live.
Let's not get crazy here, though.
Like, I know I'm kind of being unreasonable, but I used to go to like the dollar menu, give them the literal dollar, and they'd be like, it's $1.08. I was like, come on, man. Fuck that 8 cents.
Is that what you said? Did you say fuck New York? That's New York or state.
Fuck their tax.
Yeah, that's New York tax.
I'm totally New York, like a fanboy. Like, I love the taxes and everything.
You know, times have changed is when you can't even get 5 nuggets for 99 cents anymore. I know.
It's only four?
I remember when a dime bag cost a dime.
Gosh.
Dime bag.
The good old days.
A condom, what's that?
Yeah, but you know what? That. I don't want to get down that road. But
no, get down that road, Mike.
That weed sucked.
I didn't have
it. I'm sorry, but you know what? Anybody who was smoking back then, I've been told stories. It was dirty, disgusting weed. People who smoke weed now, they smoke much higher quality.
It's high quality because we're all physicists and chemists
Well,
now.
Yeah.
Weed, be botanists.
Weed and beer. 20 years ago, there weren't microbrews.
People are, you're finding inspiration in different places because people are open to the ideas. Internet.
Well,
that's That's the point.
Literally,
the interwebs.
Spread the information around. You never know what you get.
Literally, over 100 years ago, Pabst won a blue ribbon to fucking because their beer was so fucking good.
Hey, I like Pabst Blue Ribbon.
You got to imagine.
I'm here because of Pabst Blue Ribbon.
I'm sorry.
I'm
do you live
sure.
in Brooklyn and can you not breathe in your pants? Like, fucking Pabst Blue Ribbon is a hipster
Kentucky,
brew.
In 1980 or 81, wherever my mom conceived me, Pabst Blue Ribbon and whatever else is going on at the parties is the reason why I'm here.
Also,
so let's not knock Pabst
Blue
Ribbon.
Well, also I'm trying to say is, though, it's like, what were the other beers in the contest that shit won the Blue Ribbon?
Natty
like,
Ice.
It's like natural.
They don't even exist anymore.
Anheuser-Busch had to change their name to Bud because that natural shit was
what was the other one?
Water.
Schlitz or something?
Schlitz?
Schlitz. That
wait,
was
that was a Saturday Night Live skit. Schlitz Ice.
No.
Schlitz Gay.
Schlitz Gay. That was
that,
it.
Yes, there was a legitimate brand that was either that name or something like that used to be the high end beer brand, and they fucked up their marketing, and they don't exist anymore.
You know your beer is fucking awesome when it comes with a grenade pin. Like,
well, while we're on the topic of getting fucked up in various ways, why don't we do
oh,
a little
jumping?
Oh, man, a little jumping.
Yeah, fuck.
Cheers.
To wine. Cheers.
Why don't we cue up a little stupid people and get to our next segment?
Stupid people.
That was actually stupid people. That was definitely you cats.
You are correct.
Yes. There's never a doubt.
So, Julian, what's my favorite place in the world?
Titties.
Maryland?
No, I'm talking when we're talking about stupid people.
Florida or Germany?
Oh, there you go, Florida.
Florida or Germany?
I have a Florida story here, and this is a good one. William Daniel Lloyd, a Florida man, a.k.a. Florida man. That's his name, because he's
Flo not Florida?
He's been in the news a number of times, pretty much for his mugshots, for Grand Theft Auto, to drug possession, to disorderly conduct. He's back in the news because he was hungry, and he felt like he needed a little bit of squirrel. And all he had was a BB gun. So what does genius do?
Shoot the squirrel with a BB gun?
Oh, no. Well, the BB gun, I guess he felt it wouldn't cut it. So he had a bullet, and he had a BB gun. He taped the bullet to the end of the BB gun.
Fuck you.
I'm not even kidding.
Okay, wait. Keep going.
No.
In the hopes that upon firing, the BB would hit the bullet, triggering the firing pin to fire the bullet. So
I'm literally drawing a diagram of this in my mind right now.
Yo, Florida.
Brian's crying.
I'm sorry. This is like only could happen in Florida kind of story.
He hooked up
seriously.
He hooked up some like mousetrap apparatus. That like
snap.
I want to reiterate this. The man was hungry for squirrel, so he taped a bullet to the end of his BB gun. And I want you to guess what happened.
I couldn't. He got hurt?
Yo, it exploded at the end, right when it hit it.
Here's what
happened. Wait, God zapped him dead on the
if
spot.
If only. This is why I'm an atheist, because if there was a God, he would have been like, no. He fired the BB gun, causing the BB to strike the cartridge's primer, which essentially exploded the bullet, sending shrapnel everywhere, piercing his arm and lower leg, and was taken to the hospital with non-life-threatening injuries. This
God
guy got off light.
I'm glad it didn't hit his head because it would have affected his brain.
It might have made it smarter. God damn it.
Yeah, and it's called like justice served, like instant karma.
Yeah.
You act stupid, stupid is done upon you instantly.
This guy is
warranted.
Beyond stupid.
Yes.
In a way, though, the theory of it is oddly brilliant.
I think. I don't know if you can insert.
No. Like, if he had time and materials, he could probably build a gun that would insert
MacGyver.
But no, this guy was just like
the anti-MacGyver.
He's like, I got a bullet, I got a BB gun, I got some tape. Let's make this happen.
That's like that chick that lit that snake on fire to kill it and then
burned her house. I want to start a charity right now, where it sends nothing but tape and bullets to fucking people in the South.
Please
well, this
donate
guy,
today.
This guy's actually in some serious trouble because he was charged with discharging a firearm in public and possession of ammunition by a convicted felon.
He's being charged with felony stupidity.
No, you know, I have a problem with that. There's no way in the world he should be charged with anything. This guy just,
it's
what
just
did you say,
stupid.
He lost his arm?
No,
or
he took shrapnel in his arm.
Yeah. I mean, what more do you want?
Lesson learned.
He hurt himself.
Chemical castration.
Yeah, I mean.
Promptly.
I mean, You're not talking about capital punishment, but you're talking about punishment. He suffered a punishment for this crime.
What if I fucking like super glued a fucking stick of TNT to my lighter? Like,
yeah.
Like, should I not go to jail for endangering people with my stupidity?
If he survived it, no.
What if he fucking shot that gun?
And you're missing the by a convicted felon. This guy
was a convicted felon?
Oh, big time.
Okay.
That's
a different story.
That's why he's Florida man.
Okay. I didn't realize that. Yeah, they do have a lot of convicted felons. They like to commit crimes, apparently.
We need to create a camp for everyone who does something dangerously stupid that could affect people like on a major level, but they didn't mean to do it, but they're just too dumb to know. Just put them in this little camp. Right.
Sterilization.
Jail is not the answer to stupidity.
Jillian just read that verbatim from Mein Kampf. That's the translated version.
No, I don't know if
these camps.
I don't know if there was that much sympathy in Mein Kampf.
Put them on trains.
No, the
luxury
there's one solution.
He talked about love in Mein Kampf.
Yeah. Oh, God damn it.
This is the kind of guy who will go on and have, 26 kids with 25 women.
Yeah, obviously.
So, chemical castration. That's my solution to this.
You know what? That I wouldn't have a problem with that.
You can still get your rocks off even with chemical castration.
Let him get his rocks off.
They just can't breed.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah,
problem
fine.
Solved.
What if, instead of, I don't want to go too Nazis, but what if he marked them where, every idiot had to wear,
I love that sentence. I don't want to go too Nazi here.
Well, I don't know if that's
marked
Nazi.
But what if every idiot had to wear a pair of, kitty pajama pants? Like, adult size, though. Like,
yeah, some kind of, like that was, marking. I don't know if they're called that Nazi.
Well, because they marked, people.
So
the Scarlet Letter was marked, but that was a Nazi.
So you're suggesting in lieu of...
talking about a group of people.
Yeah, but we're not talking about just one person that was ever marked for, something being, doing something or, people need to know that that this person did something. I mean, I've heard a lot
they
of different cases.
They speak Hebrew, mark them. Sorry.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. I mean, it does happen to involve a lot of Jews, but I mean, that's neither here nor there. We're just talking about in general.
I'm trying to wrap my head around Brian's statement, though. In lieu of maybe tattooing a number on their wrist, you're saying footy pajama pants?
It would say it all needs to say.
Like, you see a guy coming at you in footies, you're like, we better cross the street.
It's like, yeah. Is that guy wearing a GoBots footy fucking pajama pants? I think we should stay away. Like,
no, that's Mike Renault. Dangerous.
He's Elroy Jetson for a while.
Well, after Florida, my other favorite thing in the world is stupid racism.
Love it.
We have some. And this comes hand in hand with our other story. It's been a rough time for colleges and sororities and fraternities. And we have a fraternity member and a sorority member in-house today. So your guys take. Lambda Theta Delta. You guys know about that?
Mm-hmm. Wait. I know what one of
are you familiar with that fraternity?
I'm familiar with it, yes.
It's one of the, in UC Irvine, one of the oldest and largest Asian American fraternities.
Yes.
It's an Asian?
Yeah, big Asian population.
Sorry, I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
Sorority or fraternity?
And Brian, this time it's the Asians being racist, not vice versa. So big departure from last
First
week.
First of all, they have a card because I remember a certain sorority hosting an Oriental or Asian themed party that came off kind of racist.
Mm-hmm.
So they have a pass automatically. But let's hear the story.
Let's hear the story. And as a black woman, I would like your take, Jillian.
Okay.
Because these guys put out a YouTube video to promote their 2013 Installs event celebration. I don't know what that means because I didn't join a frat.
Wait. This is a fraternity sorority.
It's a fraternity to promote the 2013 Installs event.
Installs, is that a fraternity thing?
I have no idea what that means.
Okay, so it's a little bit different. I'm guessing
it was
means
a fraternity.
Initiation.
It was a fraternity of cablemen.
Yeah.
Go on.
So, Jim Carrey impersonators all over the place.
Because but multicultural fraternities and sororities are different from NPC or interfraternity.
You're speaking Greek.
Yeah.
White
that's
houses.
Pun intended.
Look,
white houses.
In the Indian houses, they get a lot of elephant decor. And
well, let me get to the story.
Go on.
So there were four brothers put up this YouTube video to promote whatever fucking event they had, and they were lip-syncing to Justin Timberlake's Suit and Tie.
That's
so
already a problem.
When you watch the video, it is,
hot.
In fact, the douchiest thing you'll ever see. To see three Asian dudes in bad suits lip-syncing and doing the bad, dance moves.
Were they Gangnam Style?
No, they were just, trying to do the Timberlake thing. And then Jay-Z's part comes on.
They like to dance.
And guess what happens when Jay-Z part comes on?
No blackface. Please, God, no blackface.
Whiteface.
Blackface.
Oh, why?
He just jumps into black. I've seen this video. It's horrible.
Why are all those black guys squinting? What's going on with that?
I wish we had a racism bell.
We do. Play the racism thing.
I got caught on guard, sorry. being sad.
How do you get caught off guard when it's you who is being racist? That's how natural he is at being racist. And what? I'm in love with the man.
Why is observancy racism? Like,
observation.
Acknowledging what's around you.
It's observation, not observation.
I think it's ignorance if I didn't say
it. I understood what he meant.
I knew, but
yeah,
it's observation.
I understood, yeah. Yeah, but I mean, it's just a statement of what's around you. There's nothing wrong with it.
But it's still slightly.
I would like to make
people
up my own.
People have a problem with hearing what's around you. It's
look,
their
when
problem.
I get this drunk, I like to make up some of my own words, please.
Yeah,
I'm a writer.
All right, fine. Strategery is a word.
Exactly.
By the way.
As long as you get the point across, what's the problem?
So okay, back to the point at hand.
Now, okay, so they said no racism was intended, but of course. People blew up.
But
it's blackface. How did you not know that that would be come off the wrong way? It's blackface. That's the one thing that no white or because you're Asian, you thought you had a pass. No, Asians sided with white people. You're considered to be white in this situation. You can't do blackface.
Would it be race? Oh, sorry, go.
I'm sorry. I just got to ask. What is a black person's problem with a white person or an Asian person or any other person wearing blackface?
We're almost there. We're almost there where it's okay, but there's too many of us who are still alive or know people who are alive where blackface was a part of a time where I would have to use a different water fountain or restroom from everyone else, or where Brian and I would have been stoned for being in love. Like,
well, I mean, if you play the new BioShock game.
Yes, exactly. Yeah, that was a plug. Point.
Listen to A-Squad. Anyway,
Wait.
Yeah, so of course. Yeah.
What if the black guys, in turn, went pee pee in their Coke?
I mean, black people. That was
like the Shakespeare of racism, right?
Black people are in love, or we were in love with the Asians in the 90s, if you remember Drew Hill and all that crap.
I think they were just in love with Asian people.
No, black people fell in love with Asians.
I always thought that black
people. Do you remember Romeo Must Die? Do you remember the movie Romeo Must Die?
That was an awesome movie.
Yeah, I loved it too. So, when black people fell in love with the Asian culture, were we being racist?
I think Yao Ming helped too.
That's the race. That's racist right there.
No, that's a statement of obvious, fact. The guy was a 7'6" Asian man playing basketball.
He started playing basketball, dunking and shit. Black people were like, I think this guy's all right.
Yeah.
Okay.
We accept each other's cultures based on this one act. A 7'6" guy who comes in the NBA and just starts dunking on people.
Here's what Asians need to do so that no other Asian gets in trouble for doing blackface ever again.
Okay.
If you have an Asian daughter,
right,
and she brings home a black man,
which she surely will,
you can't have any issues with it. You have to accept that you're a minority and you're going to side with the brown skin minority.
I kind of feel
you've
like
got to stop hanging out with the whites.
I
kind of
feel like you're overplaying this black and Asian connection, because I see a lot of black guys with Asian girlfriends, but whenever black people get
Jewish guys on Asian girls,
whenever
I get pissed.
Whenever black people start like causing trouble, it's the Asians.
I'm Jewish.
Wait, pause. Can we talk about this? The Jews and the Asian thing. Why do Jewish men love Asian girls so much?
I don't know. It just works.
That's because they're not Jewish.
It's like a thing. It's like a legitimate thing.
Asians are hot. I mean, I don't understand.
I'm not saying they're not hot. They are hot.
There's an exception.
I love titties too much to really be involved with the Asians.
Yo, when you find an Asian girl with tits, it's...
It's a beautiful thing.
I once met a Japanese girl.
Natural or fake?
A Japanese stripper.
You don't ask. I mean, what's the point?
He likes natural.
You like whatever you want, but I mean, you get what you get.
But to my point before, like I said, plenty of black guys with Asian girlfriends, but whenever black people are out in the streets getting angry, it's the Asian guy who's on top of his liquor store with a gun, according to movies.
Okay,
I've never seen a black guy with an Asian. I've seen half black, half Asian kids. I've seen it gone really good, by the way.
Isn't Tiger
really
Woods
bad?
He's Blasian.
Didn't Russell Simmons marry an Asian woman?
A Kimora Lee.
Yeah.
They divorced, but the children
but still,
are gorgeous.
And that's because they were 20 years apart.
The children are gorgeous. But I said, again, it goes either really well or really bad with the children.
But let's just say you're an Asian father, right? And your Asian daughter brings home a black guy, but she's no longer fucking chinky-eyed. Like, what do you think happened?
Can you play the racism
the
thing one more
chink
time?
Out of her.
This racism
accountability.
Is
but seriously, like, that? He blew her up like a fucking... tire pump, bro. Like,
oh,
foof, foof.
And
just floating away afterwards.
The bitch was airtight.
Test.
All right, Pete.
I'm processing all of this.
So, okay,
this went down
back,
a very different
road.
We
played road the racism.
Back
yeah,
to
we
the
played
issue
the racism
hand.
The
back
time
to the
there.
Issue.
I love racism.
This is covered it.
What,
yes,
this is
what,
light for racism on this
I know,
show.
You know.
What happened
thinking.
To this fraternity?
Oh, they're under investigation. Which, this is where it crosses over from people being stupid to people just... Fucking dogs going nuts out there. to just being overdone. Like
PC.
Yeah, they fucked up. They did something that they thought was funny, obviously, that offended people. We don't need the apologies and the, you know, suspending their fraternity, and we don't need the
investigations. I apologize to anyone who's offended, but... I don't really care. Go fuck yourselves.
They're stupid for doing this.
Isn't that it? Like, just don't go to... If you're at that college, if you're at UC Irvine, just don't go to their parties.
No, go to their parties. Apparently, they're left right.
Yeah, apparently, they're this actually fun.
Yeah,
I mean,
well,
it sounds like a fun party.
You remember a few weeks ago, we talked about the Asia-themed racist rager?
Oh, my God, that was amazing.
This is like the flip side of that.
What? Was there another one? Because this was like a month
ago that
I was referring to.
This is on the string of quite a few of these incidences because frats are filled with young guys who don't know better who have YouTube.
Damn it. Can't you guys keep it under wraps? I know you're going to do it, but keep it under wraps.
Shall we talk about sororities for a second, Jeff?
Yes, you can talk about sororities for a second. I will talk about it. What do you want to talk about?
I'm deferring to you on this one, the story everyone's heard.
If you just open this like I told you to... Tie yourselves down to whatever chair you're sitting on because this email is going to be a rough fucking ride. That is brilliant opening. Was she an English major?
I hope so.
Fantastic.
Right, she could write.
We're, of course, talking about the sorority girl email, the crazy one that went viral.
Apparently, man, that bitch lost her fucking mind when she saw her sisters talking to a different frat.
Yeah,
dude,
and cheering them on in like a softball game or something.
Whoa. Can I bring it back for a second?
Yeah.
So she worded it incorrectly. I sent out an email probably or talked to my sister similarly in my house in this situation. Not so many F-bombs, but it is super rude to talk about post-gamming with another frat in front of the frat that you're socializing with at the time.
Agreed.
Okay. Did you ever use the word cunt punt in any of your
emails? No, but I'm going to use it now.
I've used it probably 12 times today.
I said cunt punch. I said cum punch to one of my female friends who probably
punch.
Wasn't my sorority.
All right, both you and Mike over here, like, if one of your brothers or sisters sent you that email, how would you react to
that?
You're not the guy writing it. You're the guy reading it.
For anyone who's living underneath a rock, there was a certain chapter of a house that I'm not going to name, even though you can look it up easily.
It's not hard
to
find.
In a certain state where a sorority exec board member sent a letter to her sisters about how they should be socializing during Greek week. She phrased it a little bit too freely, thinking she was speaking amongst friends. And one of these friends sold her out to Gawker, and now... Everyone is talking about it, including legitimate
and
news organizations.
She's since had to resign.
And I know the situation.
That's
unfortunate. The situation that you're presented with, and maybe Feinberg knows what I'm talking about, you're told either you resign or we kick you out.
Well, I would think two things. The first thing I would think is she can go fuck herself because I pay dues just as much as you do. Just because you're elected president, I don't give a fuck what you think. You may think that, and that's your job. I pay dues just as much as everybody else. I don't care. I'm going to do what I want to do. The second thing I'm going to think is, you're right. If you're going to be in a fraternity or you're going to be in a sorority, you should be actively active in the fraternity or the sorority. You should go out to social events. You should be social. You should try to meet other people and all that kind of stuff too. But at the same time, if you don't want to, nobody should be forcing you to do it.
Oh, then don't
they
show
chose
up. Don't,
you
don't
to
show
come
up.
Into this.
Do not show up. Exactly what she said. And not the way she said it, but like, if you do not feel that you're capable of socializing with this fraternity or following these guidelines, don't show up. And she said it. I'd rather have 40 social sisters than 80, and I'll rephrase it.
There are 361 days that
not
I ain't
the
fun with your sisters.
Right.
This is not fucking one of them.
Right, but you know what? There's a big difference between having a couple of people who are at a social event, and you know what? They're there just to get fucked up. They don't want to do anything else but just drink and maybe, you know, smoke a little something. You know, just do whatever you want to do. But you know what? The fact that somebody who pays just as much dues as you do in this fraternity, they, you know, have just as much say in whatever goes on, is trying to tell you that that's how you should enjoy your time. Well, my first instinct is always go tell you to fuck yourself because this is how I want to spend my time.
As a non-Greek person, like somebody who never joined a frat,
You went to an art college, didn't you?
Yeah. Well, sort of.
I know of one that had a Greek system, and that's the weirdest thing.
No,
to me.
Not in an art school. There's too many gays.
No, he went to a school that basically taught him how to get pussy by like pretending how to draw stuff and just like flicking his hair back.
Yeah, yeah, what is that? Going to school with like 80% girls?
Well,
that would work.
Probably 60% girls, 20% gays. No, 30% gays, and then me and Lou.
There you go. Sounds like good odds.
But as a non-frat guy, upon reading this thing...
Fraternity man, please.
Okay, as a non-fraternity man, I was put off by the fact that how much work it sounds like.
It's
what do you
okay.
mean?
Well, it's okay. It's a corporation.
It seems like a full-time job to be part of the Greek system.
Not to
according
be part
to
of
thing.
It. To be a leader of it. It's
no,
preparing
she was asking,
for corporate America.
She was asking a lot of the members of the sisters.
It's work. It's well, fun, but it's work.
Listen, what are you giggling about?
Well, you see, I look at it from a little different.
It's a lot
point
of work.
Of view.
Cursing out your sisters.
Yeah. No, I mean, like, she's like, show up to this. Don't talk to that person.
Right, exactly.
Don't talk to that person.
Right. Well, she's telling everybody to do that, and I'm looking at it from point of view as I'm not going to go cheer on anybody to play a sport. I'm going to go play the sport. So I'm not, like, you know.
Right.
You're going to go play a softball game? I'm going to play in that softball game. So.
Sure.
But at the same time, why would you join in the first place? Nobody forced you to do this. If you wanted to go and join this, and you put up with a lot of shit to get into this, and then all of a sudden, like, you're like, you know, you knew what you were getting yourself into.
Sure.
All of a sudden, now you're not, like, interested, and I'm, you know, sound like a, you know, this girl sound like a bitch coming on that, you know.
Oh, yeah. At every house. Yeah. Fraternity and a sorority. Everything. And your jobs in life. Every group of people you deal with, there will be one person who is a bitch that you're going to have to deal with.
In life in general, yeah.
Exactly. Well, so how are you going to deal with this person? Are you going to be a whining bitch and leak it to Gawker whenever she sends bitchy email for
that's
you?
That's such a sorority thing to do. Yeah, that is such a sorority thing to do. Fraternities
don't knock
don't
the girl who leaked this
other
thing, because she's a personal hero of mine, because otherwise
yeah
I wouldn't have been able to
right
read
it. Right, I love the fact that we know this.
I,
yeah.
Well, again,
Michael
I,
Shannon knows that everybody loves this too.
Funny or Die, check it out.
Yeah.
First of all, these are young ladies. And I have sympathy for the girl who wrote it and sympathy for the group of girls who sent out the email to Gawker, because I would be so surprised and actually kind of proud if it was one girl who had the balls to do that. But I'm pretty sure it was a group of like three or four little shits who decided that they're going to leak this and get this girl kicked out. Which,
as,
by the way, again,
this is
smart move.
This
by
is
the way,
how
well
you
played.
Tell,
well played.
This is how you could tell if you were part of this system or not, because me and Brian – not part of the system, and when you first heard about this, giggling like children. You guys are talking about it like it's the presidential election.
Well, no, no, because, you know, I'm listening to this and I'm thinking that I heard stories similar to this when I was, you know, in the fraternity system, in the Greek system.
Okay.
It's always sororities.
Fraternities,
when they get, you know, like blown up, it's yeah because they've killed somebody during pledging. Or they threw a party and some girls gotten raped or something like that.
Or they threw,
I'm not saying that's a high level of
takes
respect,
a felony for
but,
really a
or, yeah, yeah, I'm saying, but that's
or
the
they
kind
put
of
on blackface.
Can I explain why? It's because there is a double standard that still exists. And I don't mean to sound like a feminist, because Brian will be the first person to tell you that I am not a feminist. Is that there's a double standard in that.
Yeah, she don't mind a handout from a man at all.
I've seen.
Females are put up to so much more scrutiny. And so when you have a group of 50 or something women who organize some sort of club and they live in a house together, we're kind of put to a higher standard than men.
You know I'm not Greek, obviously. I'm Italian, and I would fucking went up to
that,
the person.
Wait, that's how Brian responds to my female friends.
I meant
ask,
Greek like
oh
I'm not in a fraternity.
Yeah, it's still Greek.
Brian, what was the question my female friends
well
asked
me,
you?
Oh, I said, I'm not Greek, I'm Italian. And
but
I would go up
to,
would you shut up for a second? And then, see, that's how Italian I am. But anyway, I would go up to the person who sent the email, and I would look them right in the eye, and I would have been like, look, if you just wanted to fight me, all you had to do was ask. You didn't have to write some fucking drawn-out email telling with all these F-bombs. Like, that's how I would have fucking approached it.
Okay, so I'm going to completely set aside what I was going to say to Brian, even though he fucked it up.
Can I just point out that as you're talking, I just happened to glance at your phone case, which has the name of your sorority on
which,
it.
Which, please do not say out loud right
I will
now
not say out loud, but you've been out of college how long and you're super involved?
Because
in
I'm still like a Greek council member.
Okay.
So that's why I'm about to say what I'm about to say. It was an unfortunate incident between young ladies who are still developing and finding out who they are on
sure
both sides. The woman who
fair
wrote it and the young lady who leaked it out, or the young ladies who leaked it out. When I say little shits, I mean,
but
I say that with all love.
But it's funny as hell.
It is funny as hell. And I said that on my Facebook page. It's funny as hell.
They can also be tried as adults at this point. They're not kids anymore.
They're not kids anymore, but that's where I say
we're
again.
We're not talking about 18-year-olds.
Okay.
She was a higher up in the sorority. She's the president. Probably a junior or senior. That's 21, 22 years old.
How smart were you, junior, senior in college?
I'm not smart right now. It's just, you know.
Exactly. It was a mistake, and I'm really upset that
to get into that position, though, she probably had to be mature on some level.
No, I almost became president my sophomore year. I almost became president my sophomore year. That's how awesome I am.
You have leadership qualities.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely have leadership qualities.
But my point is that I'm really upset about is that this young lady's name was leaked to the public. Because Gawker, when they published it, at least changed her name. Now her real name is out there. And even her sorority acknowledged that they're sorry that her actual name is out there. Because when she applies for jobs, this is going to come up now.
I haven't thought her name at all.
And yeah, we're not going to say it here. I know her real name.
I'd rather that not be a thing.
Jobs, yeah. She's forever become a one-night stand. No respectable guy would date that girl because she's a bitch. Like, she's a bitch.
But she should just be relegated to a meme at this point.
She needs to become friends with Chelsea Handler.
Sweetheart, Mike
and
would love to date
you. Turn this into a career.
Guys, one conversation.
Right. She needs to become friends with Chelsea Handler or Amy Schumer, whatever her name is, and make this into a career.
Date someone funny.
The comedian?
Something like
Amy
that.
Amy Schumer, the comedian?
Yeah. Yes, she needs to do that. I think that's my advice for her. I mean, if she wants to do something else, I'd be happy to help her.
But wait, she meant this as she wasn't joking. She was serious.
She was pissed off. We perceived this as comedy.
Okay. I don't think she did.
Okay, quick story.
She was dead serious.
I did not get that.
She asked everyone to buckle themselves in because it's going to be a rough fucking ride.
Dude, okay, I've been in her position.
Oh, wait, no, punting. I'm sorry.
I've been in her position. Listen here. I was on exec board, and the other exec board members overrode me on who we were going to pregame with for homecoming. And I told them, listen, we're rising up the ranks. Let's go socialize with some other fraternities. No, we had to be faithful to such and such, such and such house. You know what that house did to us? They fucked us over. They had double booked us, and they went with the other house. And God damn it if both our houses aren't on campus now. This is the kind of shit you have to deal with when you're an exec board. It is like running a corporation. And sometimes when you run a corporation, some F-bombs get dropped. Bitches get slapped.
I know, but this isn't your job.
It feels like a goddamn job.
No, I'm sorry. Yes, this is your job. For everybody else in the sorority, it's not their job.
No, that's the problem.
This is a pastime. This is something you spend your money on to have a good time, to go out and drink, meet people, and have sex.
And I'm asking
what else do you want with it?
Since this is essentially
a comic book company, we will nerd it up for you. Basically, this is like going to see the re-release of Return of the Jedi and cheering for the Ewoks.
Okay, no,
I get it now.
Those little guys?
Yeah.
Sorry. Feinberg just stepped into this territory, and I love Feinberg, so I'll explain to him. I actually had a guy when I was a collegiate come up to me and say, isn't the only thing sorority girls is sleep with fraternity guys? No, you fucking asshole. That's not what we do. That's not what we're about.
We make them breakfast, too.
Yeah. I'm going to
eggs
cunt punt you right now, Brian. That is not what sorority ladies do. We are well-rounded, educated young ladies.
Otherwise known as hoes.
I am going to punch you in the face tonight after I fuck you. For God's sakes, I will punch you right in the face after I come.
That's a contract.
Fucking and punching.
Oral contract right there. Oral contract.
I am in love with this man. I'm probably going to marry him, but I'm going to punch him in the face tonight.
I don't remember asking anything like that.
All right. Are we good? Do we feel all right about this?
I think that was a bizarrely
sincere and intense conversation about something that
I can't believe that
about a topic that everyone is kind of laughing about. I'm actually kind of happy about how that just went.
It wasn't bad.
The unemployment rate in America is so high, and this girl, she fucking gets all that attention with her stupid email.
Well, what do you think people are doing in college? The unemployment rate is that high. This is what they're doing in college.
I'm getting rid of it.
I wish I had the internet right now. I had a good story.
They have no idea what to do after this because this is what they did in college.
You know what? Let me get $50,000 worth of debt I can never get rid of.
One more thing. And for those of you who are offended at anything I said during this podcast, I would apologize, but I really don't give a fuck. Go fuck yourselves.
Hey, we also did charitable things every once in a while.
You're a frat?
I do charitable things every day, you
mother. Just because you recycle empty cans doesn't mean you were charitable.
No. We actually had some pretty cool charitable events. We went and worked at the Binghamton Senators hockey team. It was a minor league hockey.
I know the team.
I don't know. Yeah. They have an arena in Binghamton, and we used to work in their arena for free. We didn't get paid for it. So, I mean,
I worked
we did a little
with AIDS
stuff.
Patients. Top that.
Oh, yo, dropping the gauntlet.
No,
boom.
You know what? See, that's fine by me because I would never work with AIDS patients. I'm just sorry.
I don't want to hit.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. I'm not getting close to those people.
You don't want to get too close to a sneeze and then all of a sudden, wow, he's losing weight rapidly.
Fluids can't happen if you're not, near him.
Wait. My drink hand is empty.
Take a beer.
Oh, yeah, beer's a lot. Well, it's actually
someone go get me a glass of wine. Can we text someone downstairs to get me another glass of wine?
No, Jillian, you got to bring your full bottle and that's it. All right. You got
drank
beers
it.
At this point. All right, so moving on.
Understood. Why don't you queue up a little price of admission for us, Brian?
No doubt. Here we go. Price of admission, G.
And as usual, I have no idea what that has to do with movies.
Yo, movies
is here. I don't get it.
Movies
is
street, bro, you know?
Yeah.
All right, first movie this week. Pain and Gain.
Fuck yeah. I want to see that so bad.
I need to see this so bad.
I mean, you two have been talking about it quite a bit. I think I might be into it. It is a Michael Bay. I'm a little worried.
Dude, explosions are awesome.
Didn't you see The Rock?
Mark in comedy is pretty good, too.
And The Rock.
Yeah, that's true. It's a good
didn't you see Dwayne The Rock Johnson's body exploding all over that film? It's like, boom, Michael
oh, yeah.
Bay.
Well,
pump
here's the
out.
Plot. Did you know
feel
the
it.
Plot?
Feel the burn.
No, it was plot.
It's based on the unbelievable true story of a group of personal trainers in the 1990s in Miami who, in pursuit of the American dream, get caught up in a criminal enterprise that goes horribly wrong.
See, if you're a personal trainer, you can't be like a masked villain. When you show in and just jacked out your head, it's like, that guy has the body shape of my personal trainer. I think that's who it is.
Isn't that the thing? Like, you get robbed by The Rock, and you're like, oh, it's clearly that dude. Because nobody ever has looked that big.
Did you see The Rock's surgery photo this week?
No, I didn't.
He's sitting in, like a hospital bed with like the little hairnet on, and like a for whatever reason, a Superman T-shirt, and he's flexing like this. You know, he's got both arms, biceps in the air. And he's like, Rock, having surgery.
The guy's the shit. He's the shit. If you haven't seen him on Splash Mountain, look up that picture. It's my favorite picture of him ever.
When he poses for a shot, it's hilarious. He just puts out the guns and he's like,
and he just like roars. It's awesome. I would probably see this movie. Rotten Tomatoes gives it about a 47%.
Really? That low?
Fuck them.
It's a Michael Bay. You're not going to get that high on a Michael Bay movie.
I guess.
You see,
never mind. Here's my own question.
Three names hurt movies. Tyler Perry, M. Night Shyamalan, Michael Bay.
First one, go fuck yourselves. Number two, completely understand.
The
number
black
three,
people like
the
Tyler Perry.
What's your problem?
Yeah, I understand. What's the problem with Michael Bay? It's big budget, right? Lots of explosions.
People
lots of
in
action.
Recent years have turned on him for lackluster story, especially after the Transformers.
I just
want to
see
series.
Things go boom and have no one get hurt.
Michael Bay had the nerd community turn on his ass, and
whatever
he puts out there
did
is
he
just
do the Star Trek movies?
No, that's J.J. Abrams.
No, he did the Transformer joints.
Here's what he did. Here's how it goes.
Armageddon.
As a nerd, I can say this. All right, Transformers 1, good movie. We all liked it. Transformers 2, you got racist robots, you got a stupid story, nonsensical plot, and we all started going, wait a minute, this doesn't seem right. Number 3, piece of shit.
Hot Girl.
Okay, that's the one that changed. No Megan Fox.
Then he goes, guess what I'm going to make? Ninja Turtles. But they're not teenagers, and they're from outer space. And everyone went, fuck this guy.
Yeah, you can't change the turtle story. That's, you can't go. That can't
exactly.
They didn't change the story that much.
They're not
from
outer space.
They're from space.
They're not from outer space.
They were always from outer space.
No, they
unacceptable.
Are not.
No, not even.
They're teenage mutant Ninja Turtles. They got hit by ooze that dripped into a sewer.
Wait, sorry. I thought we were talking about Transformers.
No, we're talking Ninja Turtles.
Yeah, we switched real quick.
Oh, okay.
So, I'm sorry. I transitioned really fast.
So the third Ninja Turtle movie is when my mom tried to make me go see, saying I'd like it.
That's the one where they go back to Fiona.
That's when they got the DeLorean.
Yeah.
They go back to ancient Japan. I told my mom I didn't want to see that.
They climb in a TARDIS.
No, Mom, I don't want to see the movie.
She's like, but you and your little brother watch the first one and the second one all day, every day. I'm like, yes, because they're perfect and we don't want to ruin it.
I'll watch that first one to this day.
The
second one.
Secret of the Ooze is awesome.
With Vanilla Ice.
One thing I never got, when the Shredder gets hit by the mutagen and turns into Super Shredder, why does his costume mutate? It's a Ninja Turtles movie.
Don't have an answer.
Don't
for that
ask.
One.
Why would he just?
Did you know, Brian, as a wrestling fan, that's
Kevin
Nash.
Yeah,
yeah.
He's Kevin Nash.
I don't get.
Was it like a pile driver? I'm not really.
No, the super shredder, the guy inside the costume.
He'll kill us all. Kevin Nash.
Yeah. Wow. Wow, yeah. I did not know that.
Fun little tidbit that. There.
Yeah, that's good.
I pretty much only like does
even more. Do you remember the line?
More.
Do you remember
Token Razor?
Yeah.
Do you remember the line? You'll kill us all. So be it.
Yeah.
Just remember, we're turtles, and we can't breathe underwater if you didn't know.
No.
Exposition.
Oh,
thanks for being so literal, Donatello.
No. A ninja is a master of himself and his environment. So just remember, you're a turtle.
Wow, you've seen this movie a lot because that was verbatim.
Yes,
that
was because good. That's all me and my little brother watched after school every day.
That was well done.
That movie made Vanilla Ice look like a lyricist.
Yeah. By the way,
go
I can
ninja,
do the same.
Go ninja, go.
I can do the same thing with Terminator 2 and Last Action Hero.
I could do those.
Ooh, Last Action Hero, I was a big fan of
that
movie too.
If God were a villain, he'd be me.
Isn't that the Lannister guy? The fucking from Last Action Hero,
Tywin Lannister.
Yeah, Tywin
Lannister.
Oh, good.
But yeah, Pain and Gain. I think we're going to go around the table here and we're going to see if we can see it or not. Feinberg?
Yeah, I'll see it when it gets on the TV or something.
All right, so you're going to wait for...
Yeah, not for me.
Not a theater view.
Yeah, not a theater view.
I'm going to go tomorrow afternoon, I think.
All right.
It's going to be awesome.
Well, then you'll give us your review next
Hell
week.
Hell yeah.
Jillian, I assume if Brian's going, you are.
Yes, 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 and over again.
I will see this, but I will probably wait until it's on.
Do you rip it?
Like VOD or something.
All right.
Yeah, I just won't pay for it.
Yeah, it takes a lot to get me to a theater now. Like, I think the beginning of my movie season is Iron Man
4. Well, next week.
Yeah, Iron Man, I'll see you.
Like, that I'll see in theaters. And then after that, it's just a slow money drain.
Thor 2 is coming out later this year. That one.
Dark World. That's
November.
I have a question.
I'm looking forward to that.
I have a question, and I have an Iron Man question. For someone who's only seen The Avengers,
okay,
and that's with Riff Trax, which I highly recommend.
I don't know, but I've been told Loki's hat is really gay.
Do I need to see the other Iron Man films before I see this one?
Yes.
You don't have to.
You should, because they're good movies.
Brian, do we own those?
They're somewhere in this mess. We just
they're easily
into.
Obtainable.
I can give you
easily
copies.
Obtainable. They play them on FX.
Well,
two all the
two's
time.
On Netflix, and yeah. I have one somewhere.
And it's on FX.
And they're on FX
every day.
All the time. But I see Iron Man all the time. It's ridiculous.
But one is a perfect movie.
You see
yeah.
Iron Man
I mean
as much
that.
As I see
totally
Breaking
unexpected.
Dawn 1, and all I want to see is Breaking
one
Dawn 2.
Is such
I
a
just
statement.
Want to see Breaking Dawn 2 already.
Yeah,
oh,
you want
back to Iron Man.
You want to see not a lot happen for a long time?
Yeah.
I want to see wait, did I see Edward and Bella have sex? See, I think I did. And
I'm
just
sleepy
don't
already, so
Breaking Dawn sounds like a ship rather than a movie. Sorry. The Breaking Dawn.
The Breaking Dawn.
Yeah, Breaking Dawn is coming in at like 7 a.m. tomorrow
morning.
Wait. Get the crew down here.
Oh, is that the one that takes once around Manhattan?
Yeah.
The SS Breaking Dawn has hit an iceberg. Iceberg right ahead.
It's hit a big iceberg of money. I can't believe it. It's shocking.
All right, our next movie this week. This one looks like a turd. The Big Wedding.
Kevin Heigl fucks up everything. Who's the guy character in that movie that you would expect to be in it?
I'll give you the cast. Robert De Niro.
That's the dude.
Katherine Heigl, Diane Keaton, Amanda Seyfried, Topher Grace, Susan Sarandon, Robin Williams.
All I thought when I saw the commercial for this, I was like, where's Ben Stiller? What fucker's movie is this?
This looks like I didn't know about it until I wrote up my little spiel today, and I watched a trailer. Wow, this looks like a piece of crap.
Yeah.
Katherine Heigl fucks up everything.
He's going the Steve Martin route instead of teaming up with Queen Latifah.
Why can't Robert De Niro do a good movie again? Why is he doing? I mean, I know everybody liked the Silver Linings Playbook, but
Corsese's
good in that. He was good in Silver Linings.
That's not what I want to see Robert De Niro play.
No, you want to see him play Robert De Niro.
Yeah, Robert De Niro.
Because Scorsese doesn't use him anymore. He's adopted Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yeah,
I like that movie, The Score. He was in that one with Edward Norton.
That's
a very
was
like, a snoozer. It's a Robert De Niro kind of character you don't expect, but you know it's not him playing a joke of a character.
Well, I just got to say beforehand, Rotten Tomatoes gives this one 7%.
No. 7%?
The last one was 46.
They have prime real estate in Penn Station as well. Every day I come home, I see that shit.
If you were surprised Pain and Gain was that low, 7%.
Yeah, Katherine Heigl definitely pisses me off.
Directed by Justin Zachman.
I want to hit her. I mean, I have no good reason, but I want to.
Previous titles?
Wait. By the way, if usually if a hot actress pisses off a girl, like guys are all into
she's
her
not that
or
hot.
The opposite.
She's hot.
No she's man or female likes her anymore. What the fuck happened?
She's an awful person. She's an awful actress.
I really don't have a good reason for it.
She's only
like
really
it.
Hot when she was standing next to Seth Rogen that whole movie.
But in that movie, she came out afterwards. After that movie was a hit, she came out and trashed the movie.
She did have a hit. It was Under Siege 2 Dark Territory.
She was in that?
Best movie. She was Steven Seagal's little niece in that movie. That was
I love Steven Seagal movies, and I have not seen that.
Then growing up was not easy on her because she just started making
shit.
Roswell was a great TV show.
I have knowledge.
Was she in that?
Yes, she was. She was Isabel.
But Brian,
Isabel Evans.
Brian, to answer your question from earlier, Justin Zakham, who directed only other credit I found, Bucket List, which I found snooze.
I didn't really watch that. It seemed like a boring fest.
So does this movie. It seems like a real... Ugh.
Instead of watching this film, you should just inhale anthrax because you get the same effect.
No, you should plant a tree. You should take a nap. You should do something.
Do some volunteer work. Do something valuable with your time that a sorority girl would do.
How about the Binghamton Phantoms or whatever the fuck you were? Senators or whatever you were.
No. The Binghamton school team was the Binghamton Bearcats.
Aww. What
these Ivy League schools, I wish that their names were just older and racist.
Yes. Half man, half bear.
You didn't like Big Red? I mean...
Like, I don't want to be racist, but I'm going to be. Someone gets queued up here. But, like, what if they were, like, the Cornell Pickaninnies? Like, they just didn't get why it was racist.
First of all,
like, if
Cornell,
Knickerbockers meant something terrible and we just never knew it.
Cornell isn't as... We're the youngest of the Ivy League, so you might want to look to Yale or Harvard for that shit.
Like, why is it cool for racism in sports to exclude Indian Americans, like
Native American.
Name a sports franchise that is racist against something other than Native American.
None.
Why is it only?
No,
Native
wait.
American?
I can come up with.
But I'm saying, why is that the only cool one we can make fun of?
I don't know. That's a good question.
Like the Indian mascot, like for the Cleveland Indians, is the fucking possibly the most racist
thing.
Or
the Redskins?
It's a screaming Indian, right?
At least the Redskins has a little demure to him. Like it's a proud Indian.
He's
face.
A proud. Brave.
No, I will talk about this. Cornell actually, there's a diversity activist group on Cornell's campus of students. They actually did a presentation to the staff about that very issue, and they did a whole thing where like we were the St. Louis Catholics, and they did all the racist.
Ooh, a stinger.
Yeah, they did everything about Catholics and Africans and things like that. And then when they got to, we realized how absurd all that was. And then they got to the Cleveland Indians. You're like, whoa. Was one of those moments. Even though I always knew the Cleveland Indians were racist.
What about the Fighting Irish?
They embraced that, though.
They embraced it.
That's
because
we Irish, we like the fight. So.
That would be like the...
As long as you guys don't have like a mug of beer in your hand while you're fighting, it's not racist.
Yeah, but that's like...
Here's my point. Cleveland Indians, okay? You have a goofy-looking Indian logo, right? It's not... anything racist, it's just the Indians.
Well, I think the Washington Redskins have more of an issue there.
But the Fightin' Irish, it's a obviously angry, balding, angry Irishman putting up his Dukes old timey
style. They embrace that. That's like naming a team like the Harlem Thick Dicks.
But that's what I don't get. I would root for them.
Yeah, the Globetrotters have been renamed, apparently. Cats has the name, the copyrighted at this point.
The Harlem Thick Dicks.
Well, now the Generals got to change.
Globetrotters are no more. They're just a thick
now the Washington Generals got to change their name.
No comment. I officially have no comment at this point.
All right. Well, let's get back to movies before we go too deep down this rabbit hole. Did anybody see something this week? I know you guys were busy moving shit around, but...
I didn't get a chance.
Movie-wise, huh? A Tower Heist. I know it's a long time ago, but I saw Tower Heist.
No, but what'd you think of
that? What'd you think of it?
I thought it was actually not bad. You know what? I'm not a big... I'm a big fan of Eddie Murphy, but I thought a lot of the movies he's done recently, like that 1,000 Words, I watched about 15 minutes of it, and I just...
Oh, that won all the awards at the
Razzies.
That was awful.
But for a
movie with Eddie Murphy and Ben Stiller, Tower Heist was not bad.
Well, I heard in the Blu-ray special edition... You get a whole 125-minute extra where he just counts the money he got paid to be in that movie.
Oh, probably.
And he counts in 20s. He's just like...
Yeah.
Quickly give my review really fast. I did see Lords of Salem this week.
How'd you enjoy it?
Not my favorite from Rob Zombie. I don't know if it's because I'm a bigger fan of, Devil's Rejects or Halloween 1 or... I just found this one kind of dragged.
And is this an original story by him?
Original story by him. Pretty much a review. The synopsis we gave last week tells you the whole story.
What was the synopsis briefly?
Okay, Jerry Moon, his wife
right.
plays Heidi, who's a radio DJ.
Right.
Like morning radio, kind of on a rock station. And she's a former drug addict and got these weird dreadlocks. But she gets a box addressed to her in Salem, and it's by the Lords. And they play it backwards on accident, and it triggers some weird reaction in her. And, like, people listening start getting weird, and it starts to unravel that there's this witch covenant. And, Jillian, you owe me a respect dollar, because, no, it was not that influential family from
God
Salem.
Damn it.
I don't want to ruin anything, because it is enjoyable in a way.
Okay.
But, like I tweeted earlier this week, some nudity you like, some nudity you never want to see again. Hey, Justin. Justin Herman.
Jay Herm.
We just got the tongue from Justin Herman.
He was supposed to bring lentil soup for me. I just want to point that out. I was looking
forward
to...
Could you be... Yes, you could be any more Jewish. You could have asked for matzo soup.
No, I didn't ask
matzo
for
matzo ball soup.
It came with the
on
Greek
sale.
Food. Yeah. It came with the Greek food. But
just to wrap it up real quick, I'd say out of four, I give it like a 2-star.
It was not
my favorite of his work, and the ending's confusing, and it's kind of all over the place, and I don't need to see any more naked old ladies for a long time.
I just want to ask a question in that real quick. You said that when you pointed out Rob Zombie movies, you said Devil's Rejects. Did you like Devil's Rejects more than you liked the original?
And oh, hell
House
yeah.
Of Thousands Corpses.
House of a Thousand Corpses, I thought was awesome.
Yeah.
I like Devil's Rejects more.
I'm not a big horror movie fan, but that movie freaked me out.
That was one I loved. Devil's Reject, I don't like as much because it freaked me out more because it was so real.
Yeah, that's what I enjoyed, the genre switch. To me, House of a Thousand was a good movie, and I loved it when I saw it.
It was absurd, but horrific.
When you watch it later on, it feels like a freshman effort, like his first. It looks like a music video. Whereas Devil's Rejects looks like a movie, and it deals with better themes.
But the second one ends with a driving into glory.
I love that ending so much.
Play Freebird.
That's such a music video ending.
Well, yeah, but the first one's a 120-minute music video.
The first one has
first one ends with them descending into an underground cavern filled with Dr. Satan.
Really?
That's the part that
I had
freaked
a nightmare
me out.
About that.
Yes,
like,
exactly. That freaked
it.
Me out. The other parts of the movie was just a psychotic family. Other than now it moved into a whole, you know, like supernatural kind of part to it. It's like
a whole bunch of weirdness.
Yeah, now it's like really involved.
I like House of a Thousand a lot. I loved it back in the day, but I've kind of outgrown it.
Dr. Satan.
But I feel like you watch it now, and it just feels like it's an homage to Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah.
More so than anything.
Well, it had that weird guy that was down there. Did he have it? He didn't have a chainsaw. He had like a big, you know, like...
Oh, you're talking about Dr. Satan's dude?
Yeah, exactly. And he had like a mask on, yeah.
Yeah, with the axe and everything.
He spit up like some kind of disgusting phlegm at some point.
Yeah. Really, I forgot what they called him in there.
But he had that sick like battle axe or something like that, you know, Viking style. Yeah.
I got to say, I was very unclear on what happened in that movie towards the end. Like,
I never asked.
After the father got shot, and like after the movie like slowed down. Like
after the dude from Justified and...
if they took that like the big pause scene where they shot the guy in the head,
the guy from The Shield,
the whole ending of the movie
says like a clown.
No, that's Spalding. The two cops that came to find the guy's daughter, and
Justified guy. I got you.
Yeah. Anyway, after that, the whole movie was just like, what is going on? They dress them up as furries. They
as
fucking
bunnies.
Run, rabbit, run! Oh my god, that one got annoying. They're like, man, rabbit, run, man, run! She kept saying it.
What got in my head was, who's your daddy? That messed with my head.
But like we said last week, that second one, Devil's Rejects, was more quotable, is more coherent, it's more brutal.
I can't quote
it's a better
it
movie.
It's
the best, I guess, yeah. No,
the best way to describe it,
it's
more
you.
Coherent.
I agree with you. It's a better made movie.
And it's quotable, and it's got awesome characters, and it actually has some substance to the idea of they're villains in the beginning, and then they become the heroes by the end, and the hero in the beginning becomes the villain at the end.
Who's the dirty cop in this? Not the dirty cop, but like the
William Forsythe.
William Forsythe.
He's on Boardwalk Empire.
Yeah, William Forsythe.
He plays the Jew guy. He gets blasted.
The butcher.
Killed, yeah.
Yeah.
Who is it? Did Jimmy kill him? No, Jimmy's boy killed him.
Richard Harrow.
Richard Harrow.
Speaking of, why don't we do a little TV news?
Little TV news.
Brian, you want to sing it since you haven't made one yet?
Yes. Fill up your DVR.
We don't have a clip, so I just have Brian sing one until he makes one.
Yeah, I was moving the last 2 weeks, so I'm going to do one this week.
Fill up your DVR.
Yep, fill up your DVR.
Well, I could not avoid this story because I found it hysterical. A few weeks ago when Lou was here, who I hope everything's going well, Lou, I know his wife had surgery and that's why he's not here. He talked about the new Comedy Central shows, that we all liked them. And the show Nathan For You did something that was so funny. Comedian Nathan Fielder, he had people on Twitter, kids especially on Twitter, text their parents with the following statement. Text your parents, quote, got 2 grams for $40. And then right after, sorry, ignore that text, not for you. And then have them tweet the responses. And some of these are wonderful.
All right, let's read them.
All right, so let's see. Here a parent responds, what the fuck, you're going to rehab? I'm not kidding you. Your mother and I are on your way to pick you up from college right now. And the kid just writes, chill, Dad, I got finals next week. Then here we go. Just ignore it, just ignore it. And he writes, you are a huge turd, and I know you don't have no money, and you are overpaying if you're getting illegal drugs.
good parent.
The parent's like, I can't believe you paid that much.
Yeah.
Here's one of my favorites. I don't mind buying you beer, but I'm not buying marijuana. Not happy about this, Cameron. Not to mention, rowers need all the lung tissue they can get. Mom. She's all right buying beer.
Sounds like a mom.
Well, realistically, her child would probably row better if he smoked weed instead of got a little beer gut going on.
Now, here's a good one. Here's a disinterested parent. He goes, got 2 grams for 40. Wrong text. My bad. WTF. Ignore that for somebody else. I hope you're joking. Just ignore it. Is Jeopardy on yet? It's only 6:40.
All right.
That parent's more concerned that Jeopardy's on in 20 minutes.
If you have a parent who's just like, yo, you need Duchess?
She got a priority straight.
Yeah, like, yo, can I get the parent parental discount?
Here's another good one. This kid took it a step above. He wrote, got 2 grams for $40. BJ is $30 extra.
Wait, it makes a difference whether or not it's a male or female. Do we know?
It's a boy.
Because no, you know funny, what? You know funny. What? As a parent, would you want your son or daughter saying that?
Because here's what it says.
It's alarming in two different ways.
So it's so much worse if it's a son, yeah.
Dad writes back, BJ, Grams, what are you selling? And he goes, wrong text. Ignore it, Dad. You ain't pulling my leg, boy. I'm calling you now. Answer. And he responds,
was that Hank Hill? Who fucking said that?
But he responds,
I'm telling you what?
My mouth is full.
You should have texted him.
Dad writes, oh my God, is this a joke? Dad writes, kid writes, Dad, leave me alone. I didn't mean to text you. Dad finally writes back, I didn't mean to have you.
Oh. All right. Game, set, and match.
You're what happens when your mother and I get drunk at a cocktail party and I don't have anywhere condoms on me.
Son, you were the first accident of my life.
None of the other ones I have topped that last one. But I just had to bring that up. I found that too funny to not mention. So let's talk a little bit about Game of Thrones. Our review for the week, and as usual, spoiler heavy.
Could be the best episode I've seen to this date, man. When
I don't know about that, but
when Daenerys turns the fucking army around on the Masters, dude,
which
that
we
was
saw
awesome.
All coming, by the way, but still,
can I ask? I mean, she's referred to those dragons as her children more than once. Did you really think she was going to get?
Oh,
no,
if you listen, right. Last week's episode, we all made predictions, and we were all right.
Okay, gotcha.
I said she was going to understand the language. Brian said that the second that the transaction was complete, she was going to have the army murder them.
Is it done,
Julian
then?
Julian said that the dragons were going to burn the dude. Like, we all figured out exactly what was going
to
happen.
And
that's
we're
why
all
I think,
looking forward to it.
That's why I think it was so fucking satisfying to see everything come.
Because we all got what we wanted. Because that's what we all individually wanted. And it all happened.
That first episode that we were talking about was foreplay. And the last episode was consummation.
Yeah. As you read the books, Mike, did that?
Yeah, I was about to say, Jillian, did you read the books?
No, I did not. I'm going to start reading them.
Has anybody here read the books?
Not up to the point that we're at on the show.
Okay, so the only thing, I can't ruin anything, so I won't say much. Just that there's a lot of backstory that they have to just gloss over because it's 10 episodes in a season.
Yeah.
We're talking 700, 800 page books here. This guy was no joke when leaving out detail. So.
She was wearing a green dress made of silk.
Yeah, I mean, in the book, she has, I think, one of her breasts out the entire time.
She had rocking titties.
Like an Amazon.
Fully on describes it.
That's like an Amazon.
Daenerys' awesome boobage.
Yes, I mean, describing every little detail, But the one thing that needs to be said is that in the old traditions of, like, the country, the Valerians, like Daenerys's people, they were the highest level of the caste. Like, if you want to do like a caste system, sort of, what you will,
okay.
The highest level were Valerian families. The Targaryens were one of them. There were many other, you know, Valerian families, but they oversaw everything. When you have dragon power, when you have steel, they always talk about Valerian steel. So when you have that kind of, you know, authority in this kind of a world, they are the highest level of society. Mm-hmm. So to expect them not to know the language is sort of, you know,
now,
like...
stupid. He didn't know she was a Valerian,
He didn't know that, right. She introduced herself at the end as, I am Daenerys Stormborn, you know, Daenerys Targaryen.
Valerian, yeah.
So no. He was under, you know, false impersonation, I guess.
I mean, we've all discussed how great the end of the episode is. What did you think about the rest of the episode?
Dude, what's his name? Not Littlefinger, but the bald eunuch, one.
Yeah, when he talks about... gang revenge.
That was awesome. I already knew I loved him,
but that was like, I want to marry you, dick or no.
Was that in the book too? Well, you see, the guy being there, no, it was not. The description of how he got cut, I honestly thought that that was a jump forward and sort of like...
The show did that better.
Right, because they are, the producers, Weiss and I forget the other guy's name, but they are in communication constantly with Martin.
Right.
So they know, they have a, not know, but they have a much better idea of how the story is going to go forward.
Sure. So, like, here's how that conversation went. It's like, yo, at the end of the story, he's going to reveal the fucking magician. And then the writer was like, oh, I should have thought
that's a good idea, man. That's something Robert Kirkman said about Walking Dead, you know, the original writer of the comics. He likes to view the show as round two, like, try to tweak what I got wrong the first time kind of thing. So I'm interested if George R. R. Martin has the same kind of view on it.
Nah, you know what? The story has been pretty straightforward.
They seem pretty loyal. I read the first two books.
Mm-hmm.
And you could read it while watching the show.
The only thing... I mean, the character Roz does not exist.
Yeah.
Roz is the redheaded prostitute.
Oh,
I like
she's
her.
Pretty. I mean, they're making her a central part.
What about the guy who got the magic dick? Does he exist in the show, in the comic?
The Varys guy?
No.
Podrick?
Tyrion's boy.
Yeah, Podrick. Yeah.
Does he also have the same magic dick in the book?
I remember.
I love that that's what you take away from it.
Well,
the kid with the magic dick.
I don't think it was that. Copious amounts of details.
Copious amounts. That was about it.
It was like a 2 second kind of thing in the book.
Since when did you know whores not to accept gold?
Yeah.
But didn't they take my gold?
Didn't they bring it up again this week?
They did again.
Yeah, Varys and the
prodigies
the Tyrell,
appear in the oddest of places.
Yeah, that seemed odd that they would rehash that.
Yeah.
Dude, unless you're going to show us what he's got or show us what he does.
No, they said he wasn't exceptionally big. He just did things that were like...
I want to see these
He was good at slinging the dick.
Describe these things.
I mean, there was also the idea that they showed all the gay sex scenes between Renly and... what's the other guy's name? None of that was in the book. I didn't see that. None of that was in the book.
Well, Brian just threw me the shocker symbol, so that's his theory.
He invented the shocker.
They invented the shocker.
He was like, thwip...
Right. Now throw two in the pink and one in the stink.
And one in the stink.
And the whores are like, oh.
Is that a pinky in my brown star?
Is that a pinky in me, bum?
That is new and delectable.
Now, I just want to say that revenge scene, though, book or not, when he opened that thing up and you see the wizard down there, I was like,
Ooh, fuck yes. That was awesome.
That was evil, dude. Like,
we
he was building.
Because
at first, the scene just starts him cracking open the little
evil
crypt.
Nothing. If somebody cut my dick off, they'd be in a box, too.
And let me feel the pain.
That's the purpose. That's the reason. Just tell me you're nuts. Tell me you have no idea why you did it. To tell me you actually have a reason why you're cutting my dick off.
Fuck you.
There's not a single reason you can ever explain to me that's going to legitimize
the creepiest thing about that was that he wasn't he was obviously mad at that, but like he's like the thing he like was scared of the most was the voice he heard.
Well, it was a demon,
and that he explained why he helped out. What's his name? The lion against Tyrion.
You guys got to learn these names, man.
I'm bad at these.
I'm tired of saying the word Daenerys.
Daenerys.
Like, explaining, dragon bitch, that's Daenerys.
Explain why he helped.
Daenerys Moore, the receiver. I'm sorry. I don't want to go down that path.
Well, explain why he helped.
I detest those who practice magic.
Well, explain why he helped King's Landing instead of the invading force.
Right.
Instead of Stannis. I'm Stannis.
Wait, Stannis wait, 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 wait.
Can I make the point that you see how...
Is that the book too? He helps him...
You're asking why Varys helped out Stannis?
Yeah.
He didn't.
No, I'm saying he said he's showing why he fought against them.
Because he hates magic. Like, was that also in the book? Like,
why Varys fought against Stannis?
He helped. He helped Tywin. He helped Tyrion because he hates magic, and that's what he said in the show. But was that the same in the book?
I mean, yeah, to an extent. But see, that's getting so far ahead. I'm truly surprised they brought this up in here in season three.
Is it a relevant thing going forward?
Absolutely. I think Varys is one of the most underrated characters in the story
because
he comes back in the point in the story where you're just like never expect. I mean, a lot of what Martin writes is never expected.
To be fair, I pride myself on learning the names and the culture and everything, but I didn't know that
the culture of a community doesn't exist.
I called him the eunuch up until like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. I mean, he was from the Free Cities, and the Free Cities are, you know, Essos as opposed to Westeros, which is like the main you know, right. kingdoms.
I'm this close kingdoms. To LARPing right now.
Littlefinger was the
this
other
this close
one.
To LARPing.
Oh, Littlefinger.
I only learned his real name like 2 weeks ago.
Peter Baelish?
The guy
Baelish.
In the...
Lord Baelish. Baelish.
But can I make a point that how clever he was with his revenge?
He was also Mayor Carcetti in The Wire. Just want to point that out.
He was also in the beginning of Batman.
Yes. Dark Knight CIA agent says. In the beginning. Yes.
God damn it, can't make my point already.
Yes. Okay. Sorry, Jill.
So the point is that he was so clever in his revenge that remember he was talking about him chanting and calling the voices while he was paralyzed and couldn't speak and feeling the pain?
Right.
That whoever he got to get him for him sewed up his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
Which is a fucked up thing to do to your enemy anyway, but was also just a precaution so he can call anything to get him.
It's a theme on the show, I think, is just fucked up revenge.
Brutality.
But that wasn't fucked
brutality.
Up. That
Look
wasn't,
at what's happening to Theon Greyjoy right now.
That was
the beginning of what's going to happen.
I can only imagine.
That wasn't fucked up revenge, though. That was a precaution. That's how smart he is and how calculating he is. He's like, I'm going to cut your balls off now. He's smart.
Can I say that, is everyone on board me that, like, unless you're talking about Jon Snow, please don't show me any more of the North. Like, it's solely fucking
North. No, I like the North.
You like the fucking fat guy who's in love with the fucking...
Oh, you're talking about The Watch?
Yeah. I'm talking about besides Jon Snow.
That whole thing with The Watch and I forget the character's name, the guy with all the daughters.
Craster.
I thought that was interesting, but not engaging like the rest of the episode.
It's because you're not getting... The time restraints. That's the problem, is that you just cannot get the full backstory on it. And when you get the backstory, it's... I mean, when you have basically a 1,000-page book for everyone that he's written, he's not leaving details out. And every detail, after I've glossed over some little parts here and there, I realized you can't do that because every detail means something.
Right.
And... he doesn't leave anything out. Everything comes full circle. It's a very well-written, you know, storyline.
Well, that's the point that I make on the show, is not every moment of the show is captivating necessarily, but there's enough crammed into every minute, whether it be conversation or action.
Right. Every time it's Ralph Bartz, it smells like a rose.
It remains compelling throughout, and you can only imagine what more there is. And, you know, having read two books, I know what you mean. But I think the show does a good job of getting you at least to the point where you're caring.
Why doesn't HBO give them, instead of 10 episodes, like 12?
Because do you know how expensive that fucking show is?
The production of this show is off the charts.
It's like one of the most expensive shows ever made.
Granted, they film in like 5 different locations, and one of them is like Iceland. One is like Northern Ireland. Like,
yeah, they film in Ireland.
There's got to be Australia somewhere. It's got to be like New Zealand.
They film in Morocco, I think in southern Spain. For King's Landing, they film in Morocco for like the Daenerys stuff. Yeah, I mean, it is all over the all over
but
the world.
I'm talking about just like not like battle scenes or anything like that, but like, yo, get like a couple more like weeks on set and get like maybe just stretch it. I mean, not a couple weeks, but they make a week more on set. You can stretch out 2-3 more episodes.
I don't know, because every episode has at least one big.
It is packed.
Special effects shot.
And we're forgetting. We talked about Daenerys. We talked about, you know, the North. We're forgetting another big storyline here is there's going to be a huge, huge confrontation.
Whoa, is winter coming?
No.
I mean, spring is coming.
Yes, absolutely.
Spring is coming.
I'm sorry. I did, you know, absolutely. But you have Jaime meeting up eventually, you know, wherever he's supposed to be going. They're bringing him someplace.
His arc has been very interesting through the season.
And he is going to be an excellent character of redemption.
I was so upset when Jaime
has already started the redemption. I mean, he lost his hand at the sake of sparing this woman from, you know, rape of 5, 6, 7 men for how many nights in a row.
Oh,
cost him his hand, but he did it. It's a story of redemption.
And he continued to fight.
And she saved him too, though. Like, remember, she was like ready to give up.
Yeah, she's like, you goddamn woman.
Yep.
But when he went left-handed to try to fight, I was
he has some balls.
He's got some balls. He's willing to.
Yep.
I want to say super spoilers because I just want to know, not in a sexual way, but those two characters like have a love for each other after this. Like, were they? She sticks with him.
You're talking Jamie and Brienne.
Yes.
I don't mean like sexual. Like, I mean like a respectable.
No, I mean like where she will die for him, and like he loves her, like not in a sexual way, but like
homoerotic.
That's not like love. I'm talking about like.
Sibling relationship,
yeah,
is what you seem to
I'm talking about like a soldier, sibling? Like a soldier, like they've been through the trenches with each other, like right. They will never
right, like a go warrior's like camaraderie,
yeah.
Yes,
yeah, to an extent.
Do they stick with each other? Is what I'm trying to say, like
for a while, but no, the ultimate
sides.
Ultimately the characters do split.
They have,
but the story coming up is excellent.
I'm looking forward to that. That's, I like Jamie a lot this season. Yes. I felt last season nowhere to be found.
I screamed when they did that to him.
He was captive
last
the whole
season,
time.
Exactly. There wasn't much to talk
this
about.
This season, it seems like he's paying for the time off.
Think about his position in this entire story. He is the number one son in, set to inherit the wealthiest land. The
actually,
wealthiest,
he's not.
Estate.
He should have been, but he took that position. But we all know what's going on.
I love that.
Happen.
I love that.
It's up to the people in charge to make the
rules.
If you're in charge, you make the rules.
Exactly.
We break whatever we want. We follow whatever we do.
Wait. Can I quote? Power is power.
Power is power.
I love that story, but until like they met up and they got caught, it was becoming like kind of like a Gollum and Frodo relationship where they were just like,
yeah, we're just walking everywhere. We're going to put a ring down someplace.
Where are we going? It's like, we got to go to Mordor. Shut up.
I hope we got enough bread to last us the entire time.
Now, the other plot line that I think is interesting, not to harp on the show too much, but the Madeline Joffrey.
Yes, the
King
and the Queen.
McQuitty?
King and the Queen. I find
do you
that
mean Anne Boleyn? It's Anne Boleyn.
Yes,
to me.
from
mean Queen McTitty.
Yeah,
oh yeah,
she's also Queen in Boobie. Casanova.
Yeah, the tits are out the entire.
She was
time.
Also in Casanova.
I think that was a contractual statement. There's a clause in there.
I like Queen.
Her tits have to be out.
I'm a fan
time.
Of her.
I bet you.
But I have actually this season found her kind of fascinating.
Yes.
When they go out on that balcony and they're chanting her name. I was like, right on. Oh,
she's manipulating
visual,
the shit.
She's
right.
Playing an angle.
She's playing the game. It's a game.
She's
of,
the best.
The name
game
of the
player.
Show is Game of Thrones.
She's
we're not,
the best
we're not talking
game
about. Yeah, we're not talking about.
You know what's funny about the Game of Thrones? I think the people who play the game the best have no chance of sitting on the throne.
Like, yeah, like the Trolls.
Littlefinger, Tywin. Not Tywin. Tyrion.
Tywin's already there.
Yeah, well, Tyrion.
Tyrion. Yeah.
Fucking Varys.
Varys.
Oh, I got that name too.
Bravo, sir.
Adding to
Anne Boleyn.
Anne Boleyn, when I was
talking
about
the Tyrell, Lady Tyrell.
Queen McBoobage?
Queen McBoobage.
Marjorie, talk about
Marjorie, yes.
Marjorie.
Also,
I kept calling
maybe
her
like Madeline, Marjorie. For once.
But yeah, Queen Boobies.
Queen Boobies.
Yeah, what she is.
Yeah. Close enough.
Like, I feel that those are all the best players of the game. Like, Ned Stark wasn't that far removed from the
Wait,
Iron Throne, but he did not play
player?
That game very well.
No.
Do you know who is the worst at playing the game? Sancha. She is the closest.
No.
Well,
by
so
far.
Is her father. It's the stark, brutal honesty that just cannot work in that kind of environment.
Yeah, by far, it was Ned Stark. Varys was like, they'll execute you.
Stark.
I cannot help you.
Yeah.
I must tell the truth. This is foul, what's going on in King's Landing.
I do always enjoy Misa Arya. I think she's one of the strongest characters
awesome.
On the show.
Arya, yes.
I think
she's cute as hell, too. She's real cute.
That bitch is like a solid 12.
She ain't 12.
No, 14. She's actually older in real life.
How old is she?
15? She's like 18.
I think her name is Maisie Williams. I'm sorry, but I know that name.
There's a great picture
online.
Are
you
I think
like
I brought it up
that?
Before.
That bitch
that
is 18 years old?
For you? 18
she,
and up?
She's actually 18,
older. Yeah.
Like 18
exactly.
to 24.
No, 18 to whatever works.
She's actually
never a restriction.
Only a year younger or something than the girl who plays Sansa.
Well,
Sansa.
Who? By the way, Sansa in real life?
She's gorgeous.
She's gorgeous.
Girl.
She's gorgeous.
She is.
On the show, they actually have to firm her up.
Yeah. I can't stand Sansa's story. That's my biggest problem.
Dowdy you down.
Her story just bores the hell out of me.
Because there's nothing going on. She's just like, what do you think these ships are doing?
Yeah. Make up a story. Find out something. Play the game.
It's a classic Sleeping Beauty, Snow White. I'm just going to lie here and wait for my prince to save me. He's going to come in any moment. So boring.
Yeah.
Wait, but you know, we did say the Arya story. I think that story right now is awesome. Hound versus Beric Dondarrion.
Love that.
That sword is about to light on fire, and they're going to do battle, man. That is going to be a battle.
You guys
remember.
Gave the monster spoiler.
That's a monster spoiler.
You saw it. You saw it.
Did we? What are you talking about? I don't remember fucking
seeing it. It was like coming attractions to this week.
Wait, I stopped.
I don't watch. I don't watch coming attractions for this very reason.
I stopped paying attention.
I'm sorry, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. No. It was on the. It was coming.
It's cool because now I have something to mull over.
I must be in Baghdad because bombs were dropped.
Yes.
Boo.
Well, I think we should call it a wrap on that for now because we are running a little long. So why don't we close that up for this week?
All right.
So as usual, follow us on Twitter at PIB Comics. Like us on Facebook. PaintedBlackComics@gmail.com if you want to send us anything, send whatever you want us to talk about. A-Squad coming back
tomorrow.
Took a little week off. We'll be recording that tomorrow. Disenfranchised, I heard about the reformatting. That's on its way.
If you don't like it, I will fucking assault you. I swear to God, I don't care if you
If you're a hot Asian girl, you can get in touch with Mike Feinberg at the...
Give your email address.
You don't have a Twitter, do you?
Yeah, no, there's no Twitter involved.
Well, we'll set up one so hot Asian girls and 18 and up Jewish girls can contact Mike Feinberg.
There we go.
Nice.
I appreciate that.
So that about wraps it up. Anybody have anything to add?
No, man, just kill it.
Cunt punt.
All right, so I am Pete for Jillian, Brian, Mike. Close the door behind you. We'll be right back.